Friends, welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson with you today. Very important subject, something near and dear to my heart, and that is family ministry. Indeed, families need to unite together with a family vision in a family fragmented age. We're way too disintegrated, but God created the family to be a unit. And I think of the classic passage in 1 Corinthians 16. The household of Stephanas was addicted to the ministry of the saints. They were devoted to the ministry of the saints. And the family economy needs to include the family ministry. Sure, there is a family economy where the family is teamed up in the heart of her husband, safely trusts in her that he should have no need to spoil. But the family economy is not just family money-making opportunities. It's a family ministry. It's family hospitality, family elder care, family outreach, family discipleship, family-based education, family devotion, family everything else that we do. Really, it is everything the family is involved with. And let's not forget about family ministry. Our family has the opportunity to engage hospitality, the thousands of people that flock through our house in any given year. And we've had opportunities to care for single moms in our homes. We've had elder care ministries operating. In fact, right now we're going to be talking about elder care ministry, but jail ministry as well. A couple of us are involved in jail ministry on a semi-regular basis. There's the abortion outreach. There's the generations ministry. There's our mission outreach to Nepal, Philippines, Uganda, Korea, elsewhere. That's going on this year. But our family is just engaged in the area of ministry, and we just find this to be such a rewarding part of the family life and the Christian life. So here's the question. Are you involved? Is your family involved in ministry? Yes, family business is good. It's always good to make a little money to sustain things. But friends, are we involved in ministry? Today's broadcast, we want to give your family ideas as to how you can be a family ministry like the household of Stephanas, devoted to the ministry of the saints. So if you're looking for a ministry today, go into the highways and byways, and you'll find that elder care is one of the very best ways to minister. And the elderly rest homes in your community, often a fertile field where you can apply the ministry and the love of Christ. And so that's the subject today. Bill Hine is a brother. He's been an elder of a church out in California, Central Valley, California. And he entered into the elder care ministry with his family 4 years ago. And now Bill joins us on the Generations broadcast. Welcome, Bill.
Thanks, Kim.
Bill, how did you get into the elder care ministry? I know this happened 4 years ago, and you shifted from your work. I guess you retired and moved into this. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I had spent 26 years in law enforcement, and I retired about 8 years ago. And as part of my retirement, I was looking for a ministry to become involved in. And we had an idea at our church that we wanted to be involved in a local ministry in a little community called Turlock here in California. And we had many families that lived in this Turlock community. And so we began to explore various options, and we finally landed on ministering at a local rest home. And we didn't quite know which rest home yet, so we began to explore the various options that were here. And we ended up finding a rest home in which there really was no spiritual component at all. There was no church there. There was no chaplain. It was a desert spiritually.
And Bill, that's not unusual either. We've noticed the same thing out here in Colorado. There is a fertile field in this area. There are not that many churches involved.
No, absolutely. In fact, I am part of work at this rest home, which is the umbrella. The organization has 55 rest homes, primarily in California and Illinois. And we really are the only one of the 55 that is doing this type of work in a rest home.
Wow.
And that's common.
Wow.
Across the country, that is a place that the church has largely, I think, just forgotten about.
Highways and byways.
Yes.
Jesus said, go out into the highways and byways And I think that includes those areas in which the world just sort of neglects these areas, and the church often does as well, but we need to get in there. So what was the call on your life, Bill?
Well, it was interesting is that we went into this rest home, and we walked down the hallways, and it literally individuals were seated in their wheelchairs, heads drooped forward, sleeping. It was death. They were just waiting to die. They had lost all purpose in life. They had felt abandoned by their families. They were angry at their families. Many of them were angry at God. Why am I spending my last days like this? And basically, they had lost all hope, and they were just waiting to die. And that's really what we find in rest homes across the country. A feeling of despair, of rejection. The kids I raised have just thrown me in here, and I hardly see them. What we have found in this particular rest home, 70% of the residents will get virtually no visitors at all throughout the year. Maybe once in a while, around the holiday, some relative will swoop in and spend, you know, an hour with them. But for the most part, they are alone, and they have been abandoned. And so it is just what we have found is that the opportunities to minister to the afflicted, to really the lepers of our culture, the unclean, the opportunities are just never ending if you look for them.
Yeah. You know, one of the questions, and this is a softball question, but we've talked about this before on the program, how important is it to be consistent in your involvement in this ministry?
Oh, I would say it is imperative. If you are going to have an impact, you have to be consistent. You have to do what you say you're going to do, because they're used to people saying they're going to do things and they don't do them.
Yeah.
And they're used to people saying they'll be there and they're not there. Mm-hmm. And so, you just have to be committed to this ministry. And that kind of transitions into really what my passion is. I'm not one that is going out advocating that people go visit a rest home once a month and do a hymn sing.
Mm-hmm.
What I am advocating is people integrate a local rest home with their life.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes an extension of their week. When they're going to grab a coffee at Starbucks, they're thinking of Pat, who loves a Starbucks cup of coffee, and they're picking that coffee up for Pat, and they're driving into the rest home, and they're taking just 10 minutes to drop that cup of coffee off and visit with her. And where it becomes something that you're there more often during the days of the week that you're not there. You know, for families that are teaching their kids to read, what a great place to take your young ones to read to these elderly people. The elderly people love it. The kids love it. They have people to read to. That's what I'm wanting to advocate. And I think you and I are on the same page.
Yeah. Now, you've been at this for 4 years, Bill. Let me ask you, have you seen some changes? Do you see fruit from the ministry?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, it's the fruit, just people coming to life, the attitude changes, the people, and many of them for the first time hearing the truths of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
We do a weekly Bible study. I've been taking them through the life of Christ for 2 years, chronologically through the Gospels. And for many of them, this is the first time that they had heard much of what Christ spoke about. And it's life-changing for
beautiful,
them.
Beautiful.
It is a beautiful thing to see. And really, it's when you think about it, this is really the thief on the cross. These people are hours, days, for some of them. Some of them, it might be 6 months, some of them a year, some of them 10 years before they die, but they're all standing at the edge of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of them, this is, they've never heard the gospel. For some of them, they, you know, they were in church as little kids, and they remember that the hymns, they remember those things, but as they got into their adult years, they kind of abandoned the church and they went on living their lives. And now they're in their 70s and they're in their 80s and they're in a rest home. And now they're faced with what all of us are faced with. We just don't tend to think about it. And that is death and eternity. And where am I going to spend the rest of eternity? And so that, man, the opportunities, if you're one who loves to share the gospel, or if you want to hone your skills in conversational evangelism, the rest home is just an ideal place to do that.
And my son has discovered that as well. He's been at it now for 3 years consistently every Sunday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. at a Parker rest home here in Colorado. And he's beginning to see people coming to know the Lord. It's an exciting thing after, you know, all of this time, but he's starting to see some amazing fruit in the ministry. Let me ask you this, Bill. How can families get started? What would you suggest for just, you know, the 101 in elder care ministry?
Sure. It's not hard because, as you know, there is virtually no presence at all in most rest homes. And rest homes love people to come in and visit the residents. So,
Just show up.
Easily get involved.
Just show up.
Just show up.
Mm-hmm.
Just show up and say, you know, and, you know, with no agenda, you just go in and you sit down and you start visiting with people and you introduce them to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you make treats or something and bring them in with you. And you just begin to get to know the residents. And I will tell you, they are, they're a little leery. They're wanting to see if you're just a goody-two-shoes that's coming in to check a box, or whether or not you really care. And so it takes time invested in a particular rest home, and I would not recommend bouncing all over the place.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
really hard to do a good job in four different rest homes. Rather focus on a single rest home and focus on ministering to them consistently over a period of time, and then God begins to melt their hearts, because many of them, as I mentioned, they're angry at family. Some of them are angry at God, but you and your family interacting with them, bringing light into darkness, because that's really what it is, can have a huge impact, but it takes time, it takes commitment. I tell people, if you have a rest home ministry you want to get involved in, have a long-term vision. And I mean, like 5 years. Here's where I'd like to get.
Yeah.
But then have some short-term goals of how you can change, because you can literally change the culture.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
By your presence.
Yeah. We've heard that testify by some of the folks that that manage the rest homes around here, that the culture, it has changed since the gospel has come in, and we've done our ministry work over a period of time, over 2, 3, 4 years. And don't forget about music either. When my son gets up to teach, he also leads in some music. And lately I've been accompanying, so I get to be the accompanist. I get to play the piano while my son leads the singing. But it's a team effort, and you can always bring music in. You can always bring your hymns, your Christmas carols in, and minister in that way too.
Absolutely. In fact, there's some studies out there that talk about the effects that music has on patients with dementia, the positive effect it has upon them and memory. It's interesting that what they say is that the area of the brain that is where the music aspect is rooted is typically unaffected by dementia. And that they still remember the words of the hymns.
They
may not even be able to speak,
they do,
but they actually can know the hymn that they used to sing.
Yeah, they can.
So
they can remember.
Music is very powerful.
They can remember "Jesus loves me, this I know. To God be the glory, amazing grace." They've got it, and they can sometimes sing along with. And that's also a way in which we can underscore the faith and encourage them to faith. And of course, the goal is that they truly do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that they are saved. And that one day we will all be together in an amazing family reunion on the other side of the river. Amen.
Absolutely. But I will tell people this, because I truly believe that the fruit of that type of ministry, because of the people that you're interacting with, developed elderly who have issues with memory and dementia and Alzheimer's and all of those geriatric diseases, we probably will not see all of the fruit of our ministry until we stand in glory.
Amen.
And Amen. Then we'll see people and they'll go, I was at that restaurant.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that. We don't know what God is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing on the inside. We're just faithful, planting the seeds and presenting the hope of the gospel every day and every opportunity we receive to minister
Absolutely.
At these homes. Yes. Bill Hine is our guest today on the Generations broadcast, and a wealth of experience and a wealth of information concerning elder care ministry. And if, friends, you have any questions relating to this for Bill, just simply email me at host@generations.org, and I will forward your message to Bill Hine. And he's got a heart for this. He's got a wealth of information to share with anybody interested. But if you're a family and you have a desire, you have something of a call on your spirit today to reach out to your local elderly care home, simply email me at host@generations.org and I will forward it off to Bill. Bill Hine today on the Generations broadcast. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin.
And we'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned, friends. Hello, folks. I've attended the Christian Home Educators Father-Son Retreat in Colorado with my son, Daniel, for 12 years now. And it's been a big part of our lives. I love spending time with my son. It almost goes without saying that dads and sons don't get enough time together. What better time to spend than time in the Word, time in the mountains, time with a couple hundred other godly men from around the country? Is it time to turn off the electronic media, recharge in the Word, and renew relationships for you? Are you thinking you might need to fill up your tank with biblical vision, encouragement in the battle, and enjoyment of relationships? Well, if that's the case with you, come on down to our annual Colorado Father-Son Retreat at Sky Ranch Camp in the heart of the Rocky Mountains, August 29th through September 1st. The price is only $219 for dads and $129 for sons, and that includes all meals and board for a limited time only, folks. It's 4 days of fellowship, teaching, and adventure in the mountains, including rifle shooting, bowling, water slides, indoor racquetball courts, and world-class recreation centers, rock climbing, and a whole lot more. So for more information, check it out at ColoradoFatherSon.com. And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today. And the theme of this issue of Generations is really the verse, the household of Stephanus was addicted to the ministry of the saints. Friends, that's what we want in our families. Our families are oikonomias. That means our families are the basic economic unit. Oiko is household, nomia is law or vision, and the family is the economic unit that constitutes what we do. And that's everything we do. That's not just the income that we make, but it's also the ministry work that we do. So this series is going to be addressing that issue, is how do our families integrate into our ministries? Indeed, my family has been a part of our ministries here in Colorado for, 20 years now. And all five of my children have been very much involved. My wife, very much involved. I don't know what I could do without my wife. And she is increasingly involved in the conference work that we do. She ministers to so many people. She engages in hospitality here in the home. Tremendous things going on in the household ministry, as the household of Swanson are also addicted to the ministry of the saints. Well, today, Matthew Clark joins me. He is a pastor and an elder in South Carolina. He's also involved in fighting abortion. His family is committed to adoption as well. And Matt, welcome to the Generations broadcast one more time.
No, Kevin, it's so great to be with you again, brother.
You know, your family has been so involved and, of course, committed to adoption. And your family has signed up to being involved with the outreach to the orphan. And certainly those orphans that are being murdered at abortuaries across the country and certainly in South Carolina. And I know you're involved in the South Carolina personhood movement as well. But first, in general, Matt, if you could just maybe speak a little bit to how your family is involved in ministry in the church. I know the church has met in your home during parts of the organizational period of the assembly, but maybe just a little bit on how your family is integral to your ministry.
Oh, brother, we would be so, so much weaker if our children were not being moved by God to love the people of God and love the church. And it's such an encouragement as a dad, you know, to see the Father, our Father in heaven, working in our children to love Him and to desire His glory and to really connect the dots between their daily lives and His kingdom through service in the home, service in the church, and just the simple beauty and power of loving their neighbors as themselves, you know, their closest neighbors being their siblings, their mom and their dad, and their friends and, you know, other families from church and in, around the neighborhood and the community. And it's not complicated stuff. It's a beautiful thing to see. We, you know, how the Lord gives different talents and different passions to different children, and it's really beautiful to see the way the Lord moves in the lives of each of my children in different ways to love other people in certain ways and to grow up, you know, through this process as well.
And it's not always easy, is it, Matt? You know, ups and downs in the church ministry. There are relationships that sometimes are more difficult than others. And yet, do you see that your children are loving the body more and more?
That's what we see. And it's part of the fruit that the Lord develops. At least what we've seen is the love for the saints and the desire to see the church grow in its purity and its peace that the Lord gives to our children. Mm-hmm. And so then the Lord just develops the teamwork there that comes from that desire to see Him glorified.
Now let's talk a little bit about your family's vision to adoption and to fighting abortion. So you've really been on both ends of that. Obviously, your kids have leaned into that.
Oh, it's been beautiful. It's just another example of the Lord's providence in our family. We, Catherine, my wife, my dear wife, she and I both just felt the movement of the Lord and knew we would adopt at some point in our life. And I remember a dear friend came and he was talking to us about the adoption experiences in his family. And we shared our desire to adopt. And he said these simple words. He said, "What are you waiting on?"
Yeah.
What are you waiting on? And wow, we went to the Lord, and so we knew that it was time to adopt. And the Lord's just really blessed us. And like you said, it's a work that God has done that where He makes us into those who love people, and we want people to know Christ. We want other people to know the joy and love of Christ, and He gives us a special burden for those who don't have fathers and those who don't have mothers. And so the special burden for the orphan, I think, is the heart of God, the Father, being shared with us. And so we have these opportunities to go out and really just love in Jesus' name anybody that He gives to us.
Now, you've adopted...
As our very own.
You've adopted three children. Have your children... have any issue in bonding with the little ones that you've adopted? Or is it sort of a natural process where they've just incorporated them into the love of the family?
That's a great question. It's another spot where we've seen the Lord at work in our family, and it's just been exactly like every other situation where any new baby came into our home. Mm. The love, the affection, the commitment to work, it's just all been so beautiful to see, and the love, the reciprocal love back and forth, the bonds of affection are so beautiful and so strong and clearly demonstrate that fatherhood, those family ties that all families on earth have their ties from the Father in heaven, and he's giving those to us, and really teaches us what family, what the source of family is, and it's not biological, ultimately. Mm-hmm. It's spiritual. It's from God.
Mm. Now, Matt, you do take your children down to the front lines in the battle. I think I've seen pictures of y'all down there. You were down there for your birthday, in fact, this year, as I recall. And yeah. Your kids go down there, too. Do you see how that has a positive effect on your kids?
Yes, it's a hard choice, yeah. You know, because it's a really hard place there outside the doors of death to hear and see the things that are happening there, and to wade into that is an important decision for each family to make.
Right.
But I think it's an important decision really in today's world that every Christian family needs to make, to assess where the Lord may be calling them to be there and to be involved in just being present and praying and seeking to rescue the perishing, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so we went through that decision-making process before the Lord, and my wife and I concluded that the Lord was leading us to be there. And so we went, and it was a hard day, but it was a wonderful day. There's a wonderful brother that works here in our town, across the border in Georgia in our town. And he just loves the Lord. He's always there. He's there anytime the doors are open, and he's really helped us a lot, and we're blessed to have him. We went over, and he helped us, and, you know, he told us afterwards that it was just a day of surprising heart changes and women turning away and making mm-hmm. different decisions.
Mm-hmm. So you were able to save some babies.
We did. We did see that, and we didn't understand, you know, our inexperience. We didn't understand kind of how unique that day was for mm-hmm. us, and he told me about it afterwards. But for my children, it was a blessing for them to be there and to see the Church of God engaged against the forces of darkness, and to see love in action, and to see it expressed in a gentle and tender fashion, and yet with courage to really present the gospel and to make really every interaction about seeking Christ and returning to him and finding a repentance in that moment and not giving in to death mm-hmm. and to evil.
Mm.
And I've seen their prayers change.
Yeah.
As a result of that, I've seen their hearts more broken over it, and not just for the babies, but for the moms, just seeing the bondage that these women are in, just the lies these women have been told, and the just total self-deception and demonic oppression that's in place, and just the sadness that's brought into our awareness. And so that's fueled our prayers for these women who are in these situations. They've been lied to and exploited and mm-hmm. deceived, and you know, they're making these horrible decisions to kill a baby and to harm them, their own souls in the process.
Matt, you know, some people would say, well, these are grim issues, and we speak about the tearing apart of little babies in their mother's wombs. How do we explain these things to our kids, and how do we be sure that our family is spiritually strong to be able to engage at this level of warfare?
That's an excellent question, brother. I've had this conversation recently, and I think of Martin Lloyd-Jones' teaching about having to undig the wells so that we can get the water flowing for revival.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Philistines had stopped up the well and had to be dug out to get water. And he mentioned unbalanced orthodoxy. So you got orthodox teaching, but it's being presented in an unbalanced fashion. And so I think the very first thing that must be in place is just and this is a blessing from God, is just a heart that loves God.
Yeah.
A heart that wants his glory revealed.
Yes.
A heart that desires his kingdom to come. And so we're stepping into that situation, not ultimately because of any single human being there at that moment. It's not for any baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for any mother. It's not for the abortion workers inside. It's not for the other Christians standing. It's for the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that if that's not in place, you really have a likelihood of doing more harm than good
mm-hmm.
If you go down into a hard place like that, because You know, we just cannot go in there fighting by the flesh. It just will not work. And if we're there, quote, for the babies, then we don't get it. And that must sound kind of crazy, but it's actually humanistic if we're there primarily to save lives. And this flows over into the, you know, the pro-life personhood discussion as well, because that's not ultimately why we're doing this. We're doing this because we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want his name to be praised.
Amen.
And we want him to be lifted high. And we know that speaking on behalf of these babies brings him honor and glory. And he will bring the victory or he will not. That is up to him, but we will speak of his name and of his glory and call all to worship him.
Amen. I'm thinking of last week, my daughter was heading out to walk around the local abortion clinic, and I said, "Are you going by yourself?" She's yet, you know, everybody else was busy. I said, "Well, that's it. I'm going with you." So the two of us headed out to the Planned Parenthood abortuary in Aurora, and we spent an hour reading the Psalms and praying and just asking the Lord Jesus to be that King of Kings and Lord of Lords and bring all enemies under his footstool. And there was something about that time that was uplifting. It was edifying. We just felt stronger for it afterwards. That's the goal, isn't it?
Amen. We get closer to Jesus in the midst of the battle.
That's right.
He sets a table for us in the midst of our enemies.
And we experienced that as we got involved together in that short ministry last week. Well, I just want to give you an opportunity to say one more thing about family ministry. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. But how do you keep everything in balance, Matt?
Jesus has to balance things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to balance anything. I'm going to be unbalanced. In my flesh, my weakness, I'm probably going to say yes way more often than I should.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Jesus said that we, his sheep, that we know him and we hear his voice and we follow him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd have to say that balance is going to come from really just that daily devotion to Christ and the brokenness and contrition that he gives to us, the lowliness that we need to hear his voice and to trust him. I think in the flesh, imbalance comes when we say stupid things like, well, what's going to happen to this ministry without me?
Yeah.
Or what's going to happen, you know, at this particular effort without me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really silly, because we know the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't need anybody to accomplish his glory, but he, in his grace to us, makes us participants in his march of victory, which is great, great joy, great joy for us.
And
so I would say balance just comes from following close to Christ, brother.
Yeah. And sitting at his feet with Mary.
Yes.
Instead of rushing around like Martha. And I find that the time in personal worship and the time in family worship gives us the basis from which we can eventually get up and continue to minister for him. But unless we're spending that time at his feet first, everything is going to be out of balance. So,
You know, that's really been, I don't know if I've shared this with you recently, but that particular scripture there in Luke 10 has meant so much to our family and our church recently.
Well, we appreciate Matthew Clark's participation today. He is a pastor at Foothills Christian Assembly out in Edgefield, South Carolina. And we appreciate you sharing a little bit of the vision for family ministry today, Matt. Thank you.
My pleasure, brother. Much love to you, my friend.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.